Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I am going to be speaking to you this morning from the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you would like to turn with me and look at this wonderful chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And one verse is going to be our text. It'll be verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." When God calls a sinner to himself, and God calls all of his people to himself, and when he does it, when he calls his people to his gospel, the gospel of substitution. The gospel is Christ taking the place of his people. The gospel of the blood of Christ. Christ shedding his blood so that his people would not have to shed their own blood. Christ's work and not man's work. That's the gospel. And when God calls a sinner to himself and to his gospel, that's amazing to me. That is absolutely amazing to me. And this is the reason why. It's because I know firsthand how much the flesh does not want it. All flesh, this flesh, this natural, sinful flesh does not want to come to God, does not want to come to his truth. The natural flesh of every man and woman is so uninterested in the things of God. And again, I'm not pointing any fingers to any person except for this person. The natural flesh, what we are by nature, what we are in this world, is so uninterested in the things of God and so uninterested in the worship of God. This flesh says, "Let me go anywhere but to the house of God. Let me go to the movies. Let me go to a sporting event. Let me go anywhere but to worship God." So when any person is drawn to, I mean drawn to the gospel, and desires it, I mean personally needs it, personally wants it, that's so amazing to me. That is a miracle of divine power. The fact that God has called me to his word and given me a heart to preach this word, that's nothing that I did, and that's nothing I can glory in. That's a miracle of God's divine power. That's what it is. That's all that it is. And it's something to rejoice over. I rejoice over it in myself, and I rejoice over it in all of God's people. A man came to John Newton one time. You may have heard of a man way back in the old times, a man named John Newton. A man came into his office, I believe it was William Jay, and he said, "Brother Newton, did you hear that God saved this other man that they knew, this man who was a wicked sinner, a sinful man, just in the gutter, no interest in God? God called him to himself, though. He heard the message of truth, and God gave him a heart to believe it." And William Jay said, "Brother Newton, did you hear that God saved that man?" And John Newton said, "Did he really? How amazing, how wonderful that is." And William Jay said, "I'll never despair of anybody since God saved him." And John Newton said, "Dear brother, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me. I'll never despair of anybody since God saved. God saved me. Oh, He can save anybody. Anybody. I am truly amazed, and I rejoice in, and I'm thankful to the Lord for overruling my flesh. I give Him much thanks for that, and calling me to Himself, calling me to His gospel, giving me a real need for His word, and a real need for His worship, and a real need for His people. I thank God for that. And I sincerely thank the Lord for doing that in every one of His people. Every time I see Him call another sinner to Himself, I thank God for it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, the word "received" is in that verse two times. They're not the same original Greek word. You may have something called a concordance. It's a dictionary. Hebrew for the Old Testament, Greek for the New Testament. You can look up every word in the Bible and see what it originally meant when that word was used. And the word "received," it's in there two times, but it's not the same word. It's just like in English, we have words that are the same word with two different meanings. Well, the first one means when it came to you. Received, when it came to you, it means when you heard with the ear. That's what it means. The second one means you laid hold of it. You took it. Verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you heard with the ear the word of God, which you heard of us, you laid hold of it. You took it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, it is a great blessing when God reveals this to sinners and they lay hold of it. That's a great blessing. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter 1, it says in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." What that means is not one word in the Bible was written from the thoughts or the heart of a man, a mortal man. When we believe that, it brings great error to us. I've heard men say before that, well, the Apostle Paul meant this, and then he changed his mind later and said that. That's not so. The Apostle Paul penned half of the New Testament, but the Holy Spirit of God Almighty wrote every single word. And the mind of the Scripture and the heart of the Scripture never changes. God said, "I am the Lord, I change not." That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Every word was written by the Spirit of God Almighty. Verse 20 says again, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." They only spake, their mouth opened, and out of their heart came what God's Holy Ghost put in there. Every word in this book is directly from the heart and mind and mouth of our Almighty God. This is the Word of God. The calling of a true preacher. One of the number one things that our Lord warned of while He walked this earth throughout the course of His ministry was, beware of false prophets. That's one of the number one things He warned of. Watch out for false prophets. The apostles said the same thing. They said, try the spirits, meaning try the preachers, whether they are of God. Make sure they're preaching God's word to you. The calling of a true preacher and the desire of a true preacher, the goal of a true preacher, is to do nothing more than repeat God's word in a clear way where people can understand what He is saying. That's all a true preacher is called to do. That's all that a true preacher wants to do. Tell the people what God said. Add nothing to it. Take nothing from it. This is what God said. We are called to declare. We are called to announce. We are called to set forth His word alone. Alone. My greatest desire, I believe every time I preach, every time I stand up, this is my greatest desire. My greatest desire right now as I preach to you is that the Lord will always remove me from the equation. That's my greatest desire. It's that when the message is over, nobody's talking about the preacher. Nobody's thinking about the preacher. I do not want to come in between you and His Word. I do not want to be a stumbling stone by trying to wow you, impress you, get some emotional response out of you. Not at all. Not at all. If come the end of a message, we all, myself and everyone who hears it, if come the end of the message, we all can say that we heard Him. That's what God said, isn't it? This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. Hear Him. If we can all say that we heard Him, and if we can all say that our minds are on Him, everything that He did, everything He came to do, everything He accomplished, where He is now, what He has to say to us in His Word, as long as we are all glorying in Him and rejoicing in Him, rejoicing in His good news to us, rejoicing in His mercy, not giving us what we deserve for our sin, because that sin was taken away from us and given to Christ, and Christ took what we deserve. As long as we're all rejoicing in His mercy and rejoicing in His grace, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I don't need anyone to know my name. Neither did John the Baptist. They asked him, what is your name? He said, I'm not telling you. I rejoice every time the Lord takes His word and opens the heart of a sinner, the heart of a sinner, every time, and blesses that heart with it, causes that sinner to rejoice in Christ over it. I give thanks for that. That's all I want. That's my desire. Now, look with me back at the text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard. When you received the word of God, which you heard, it came into your ear. And you heard. I mean, you heard with the heart. When you heard, Paul said, oh, I thank God for this. I thank God for this. Do you know of that woman named Lydia? Do you know the story of that woman named Lydia? The Apostle Paul went down and met with some ladies who were gathering for worship, but they didn't know what they worshiped. They were going about the routine of religion, and they were devout women. They were trying to read the commandments and obey the commandments, and they had some fear of God in their hearts, but they did not. They'd never seen Christ. That's what it boils down to. They'd never seen Christ. And Paul came and he preached the word to them right there by the river. And it says for this one woman, Lydia, it says the Lord opened her heart. That's what it says. The Lord, Paul just preached the word. That's what he told Timothy to do. Just preach the word. And it says, the Lord opened her heart, and that woman heard. That woman heard with the heart. As I come to you, I told you one of my greatest desires is that I might be removed from the whole equation. Get me out of the way. One of my greatest fears as I preach is that I or anyone else would only hear this message with the ear. If you are listening to me right now, you are definitely hearing this message with the ear. And my great fear is that men and women would only hear this message with the ear and hear it as the word of a man. This is just some other preacher. There are preachers everywhere. This preacher says this and that preacher says that. That's why I strongly, strongly exhort you, don't listen to the man. Make sure he's telling God's word. If he's not telling you what God's word has to say, don't listen to him. He's not God's man. If you and I don't open this scripture together, and if I do not say, this is what God says, don't listen to me, I'm not God's man. And my greatest fear is that when people hear God's word, forget my word, my greatest fear is that when people hear God's word, they just hear it as another opinion. That's just his opinion. Everybody has an opinion. They just hear it as the word of a man. They just listen to this as the teaching of a man. Agree, most people will hear things and they agree with some of it. They disagree with some of it. May God cause me. May God cause you, may God cause us to hear and receive this word. I have a Bible right here just below your picture in your screen. I have the King James Version Bible. May God cause us to hear this word, His word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. May God cause us to hear this with the heart. May God pierce our hearts with it. I beg God to pierce my heart with it. Pierce my heart with your word. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Let it go in one ear and straight down into my heart. And may God speak to us. May we hear His voice. Through a man, yes. He's raised up preachers to preach His word through a man, yes. But may we hear His voice. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed a lame man. And he was sitting at the gate of the temple begging for money. That's why he was there. He was there begging for money. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And that's the very thing the Apostle Paul is rejoicing over. The very thing. That lame man did not leap up and run off to do all the things that he'd been dreaming of doing in this world. God not only moved on his legs, God moved on his heart. He moved on his heart. He leaped up and he entered straight into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Thank you. That's what his heart was crying. Thank you for such a great salvation as this. Now watch this. In verse 9 it says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" What Peter said was, "Why are you looking at us? A man can't do these things. A man cannot. This did not take place through the word or the work of a man." Peter said, "God did this. God did this." And that's how it is in the preaching of the gospel. If a sinner is going to truly hear the word of God and lay hold of it with the heart, then God himself is going to have to effectually work on the heart of that sinner. God is going to have to do it. Sometimes I wonder, how do I say these things in a way that makes people truly believe it? How do I do that? Here's the truth of the matter. Here's the reality. I can't. I can't. My calling is not to make people believe this at all. That's not my calling at all. My calling is to preach the Word of God. My calling is to declare the Word of God and leave all of the convincing to God Himself. Just preach the Word. Just declare the Word. And if a soul is healed, God is the doer of it. Paul said, "That's why I rejoice so much every time I see it." I say the same thing. That's why I rejoice every time I see it. I never know when he is going to reveal himself to a sinner. I never know which sinner he's going to reveal himself to. We just preach the word. And then we stand back. We get out of the way and we see the salvation of the Lord. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2. It says in Philippians 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." When God effectually works in the heart of a sinner, when he moves on a sinner, when the heart of his child, his chosen child, hears the word, receives the word, believes the word, when God speaks, it produces a result. Sinners both will and they do. They desire and they do his good pleasure. And Paul said, "I rejoice in it. I rejoice every time I see it. I give thanks to God without ceasing every time I see it." Every time. Now go with me back to our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This time 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, he said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith." You believed. God called and you heard. "And your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." We know that God elected you and chose you. Verse 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." You heard it, you believed it. Much assurance. Verse 6, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. He said, we rejoice because you heard this word, you received it by the power of the Holy Ghost, and you became believers. You became hearers. You became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you came to Him. And you came to Him alone. Him only. Not Him plus this book that some man wrote. Not Him plus some of the old doctrines that you still had from false religion carrying it along with you. Him only. Him only. Over in chapter 2, where our text is, there are two words which are italicized. And what that means is they were added by the translators. And our translators were a great help to us in making it more readable. But it, sometimes if we remove the words that they added, we get a better understanding. Let's read this without those two italicized words. It says in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received not the word of men. You received not the word of men. As soon as you truly heard the word of God, that was it. That was it. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, for they know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. You did not no longer receive the word of men. And God's people won't. It'll be His word alone. That's what they'll all cry. Give us your word alone. Let us hear your voice alone. The scripture says, let God be true, but every man be a liar. Do we say the same thing? If so, God has been merciful to us, and He's been gracious to us, and He's revealed His word to us and caused us to believe it and see it as the word of God Himself. May that be so with us. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.